bowling, and it was a good night. And I came out to my car, and someone had broken into my car. They'd smashed the passenger window, and it was just shattered everywhere. They'd taken everything of value out of my car, and I was more annoyed about getting the window replaced than anything else in my car. And I think it was raining that night, and I pulled up to the set of lights at the corner, and there was another car that pulled up, and he said, "Oh, do you realise your window's down or your window's smashed?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm freezing in here." And he said, "I know someone who can get it fixed for you." I think there was also a little bit of talk about he was having a bad day as well, because someone had, or his computer hard drive had died. And I was like, "That's great. Let's pull up over the road at the other side of the intersection, because I repair computers and hard drives." And so we exchanged numbers, and I was able to share with someone who comes from another country with different religions, and we're able to actually share, and also just over something that I really felt was God bringing that person into my life at that particular time. He met my need, I met his, and we're able to have a conversation. So, yes, if anyone else would like to share, I'll be coming around with a microphone, but hopefully this makes up for it. Thank you.
This one here? Okay. We went in to see Linda's mum yesterday, lunchtime, and it was really good. It was one of those good days where she had woken up and things were, she wasn't anxious and things like that. So it was a really pleasant time with us. Anyway, we stayed for about an hour, and as we were leaving, we came across one of the other residents of the home where she's staying, residential care that she's staying, and we'd met this lady before, but she was walking into near where her room was, and we're just going past and said hi. We knew her name, Lorraine was her name, and she looked like she was upset, and Linda inquired a bit further, and she'd had some bad news. It looked like she'd lost her daughter had died. She's probably in her 80s, 90s, and her daughter was probably 20 years younger than her, but she died. She'd been reading the death notices, which I guess is something that people tend to do in that sort of time of life, I guess. And she'd seen her name, but she hadn't seen her daughter for 60 years. And anyway, long story, we spoke with her. We said, look, she was obviously upset, and we were standing in the passageway, and we said, look, we'd like to have a talk with you. Would you want to go into your room? Her room was right there. So she led us into her room. We sat on the edge of the bed, and Linda and I were there. And she just shared, she's obviously distraught. She hasn't heard from her family, and it was a sad time. But in that conversation, we're just saying, we'd just love to pray with you. It sounds like, it's a hard time. And so we asked about a bit more about her family and her daughter. Her daughter was, when she got married, the fellow she married was not really receptive to the family, and it's been really difficult since then, which is hard. But she doesn't know that this is her daughter. It was in the paper. She's waiting for her family to come in the next day or two, and so it was just really one of those complicated things. Anyway, he said, look, we'd love to pray with you. And she said, look, it's funny because even before I heard about my daughter, I was walking past the library in the village where they live, and she got out a book which said A Dream of Heaven, and she had that on her counter on the side table, and it was just an indication that God was already starting to talk to her. She didn't know why she picked this book up. She's not religious. She doesn't go to church. Hasn't been to church for years, but and so we were just trying to find out whereabouts she was at. Where was her understanding? And she, interestingly, she's got a connection to Mary MacKillop going back in the family somewhere. And so she started to pray to Mary MacKillop. And so we're just saying, look, we'd love to to pray with you. We're going to pray to Jesus, because Jesus actually is far better to pray to than Mary MacKillop. He actually came to earth, you know, to help in your situation, you know. It was a beautiful, relaxed time. There was nothing forced about it. It was one of those things you couldn't plan. You're walking down the passageway of a village like that, and she was distraught, and she we noticed it, and we just took her in to pray with her. So we just prayed, essentially asking that that God would show her His love, and she was receptive. She wasn't never heard of this stuff or not interested in this stuff. She was very receptive and thankful that we would pray for her. But we wanted to plant some seed. We wanted to let her know that God loves her, and that it's not a matter of how often she's been to church. That, you know, God is not restricted to being in a building. That if she hasn't got to that particular place, then God can't reach her. No, God is everywhere, and God is able to hear that sort of cry. So it was just a beautiful, relaxed opportunity to share with her.
It's the Linda Peter team. Just before that, though, 1 Corinthians 3:6 talks about how I planted the seed and Apollos watered it. The thing that we didn't realise at the time was that library that she picked that book up in the nursing home was the creation of Melanie's grandmother, Bev Poulter. And she specifically placed Christian books in there. So isn't it beautiful that she has since passed on to glory, but her endeavours of making sure there was a library that the residents of this nursing home could access books about Christ, she'd already established that. So she prepared so that Lorraine could come along and pick up a book just about heaven. So God be praised.
I want 3 chocolates.
3 stories.
I just want to tell you something that's been happening in my house. Not only have I done evangelism shift myself, but I live with someone who is on fire for the Lord, and his name is Tinoj. And I know that he's talking about Jesus, even though he talks Tamil. I wouldn't have a clue what he's saying. But when he talks about Jesus, he's on fire. And I hear Jesus. And this guy is actually talking about the gospel to people in Sri Lanka. Tinoj is talking about Jesus to his brothers, to his sister. It's just amazing. Like, he is such a good example for me. To have that fire, you know, that's something I would really like to have. And I'm sure that the Lord is working on me for that. But we have a new friend in the house called Niden. And Niden now is very, very interested in hearing about Jesus. And Tinoj has been talking to him about the Lord. And I can even talk to Niden about the Lord. Sometimes, you know, Tinoj is doing all the work, but he's opened the door for me as well. It's so contagious. It is so interesting to see the young people like these loving the Lord. And I am so blessed to have these young people with me. They're having a very difficult life. You know, they've been in Australia for more than 10 years now, and they are still refugees. Nothing is happening for them. The government is doing nothing at this point. But like Tinoj said to me, he doesn't worry. It's the Lord will do whatever is going to be best for them. So if you don't mind, let's pray for these people like Tinoj and Nidan. It's so beautiful that they are under the umbrella of the Lord. And I'm sure that the Lord is going to look after them. So let's pray for them. Lord, I just thank you for bringing these people into my life. Tinoj has been with me for so many years. And he's been such a beautiful son, really. He's been so good to me. And he tells me how naughty I am and how I don't clean the house properly. But I know he just means it, you know, like he's a good joker as well. He's always there for me. And I thank you for him so much. I love him and I love you, Lord. I love you for bringing people into our lives that will speak to us about you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Will I have a drink?
Yes.
One, two, three.
I think that deserves three.
Hi, I just wanted to share that my people that I chose for evangelism shift, one of them I hadn't been able to get hold of quite a bit. He was putting me off because we were going to have morning tea and lunch, and it's a person I've known that's addicted to alcohol. And he was reading his Bible for quite some time. He was even quoting me quite a few scriptures and things like that, which I was finding quite exciting. And I was just praying that I'd have an opportunity to get to introduce him to someone who would be able to take him to church or start to bring the gospel into a practical form in his life, and maybe the Lord would be able to help him with his addiction. On Friday, I had, not the one just gone, the one before, I had a hospital appointment, and he was actually in hospital. So I went and visited him, and he was released on that day. And I thought, this is a really good opportunity for me to actually evangelise a bit with this guy. And I was quite devastated because he actually said to me he'd stopped reading his Bible. And he really was closed off and not interested in listening. But his son came to pick him up that day because his son was actually, he was being released, which neither of us knew at the time I went in to see him. And his son asked me to go back to the house with him and his father to drop his father off, and then he dropped me at a train station near home. So we did that. And what I didn't realise until I was reflecting at evangelism shift on Thursday was God had sent me that day, because we dropped this gentleman off, and he's the guy I've been praying about. But on the way home, I had a conversation with his son. And the conversation was about my addiction and how I had overcome my addiction. And I said, through God, anything is possible. And I put my trust in the Lord to keep me safe. And when I'm tempted, I take it to the Lord, because he asked how I'd stayed sober for so long. And I was able to share with his son. And I did actually, when I shared, I left it open and I didn't realise that I was even sharing. Well, I did, but I didn't. It wasn't an intentional sharing. And it wasn't until I was reflecting on Thursday night that God had put me in that spot to share how I'd overcome my addiction with the son, so that I could share my love of Jesus with him. And I've left it open for that guy to call me if he ever needs to, for any reason. And it's just opened a door with him. Whether he steps through that door or not, I have actually shared. So I just wanted to put out there that sometimes in evangelism shift, in the course we're doing, things will change, things will grow. Those people that you put as your initial three may not be your continual three, or you'll add or you'll take away, like whatever you do. It's a living, growing thing, evangelism shift. And I'm just embracing it, I'm loving it, so.
Just a couple of comments about evangelism shift before I give my example. But what I've enjoyed about evangelism shift is It's not new material, but they put it, they've really thought through the process of evangelism and put it in a more structured way and given you the wider principles, which is a really great help. And like principle, the most important one, number four, is prayer. And the emphasis is on to pray for people to pray for the opportunities, pray for people to have open hearts and pray that, you know, you might have an open mouth and take the opportunity. So it's been really beneficial just to think through the fundamentals of evangelism. The other thing I liked about it is it took the focus of what, not so much what you say, but how can you say it in a more meaningful way to a person you're trying to minister to. So even though I've been a Christian for a long time, it's been very beneficial just to think these things through and to get it into your head again. That's the important thing. And though we picked three people for to specifically pray for, I do find that you're more conscious of evangelizing, and anyone you meet, it's in the back of your mind again, and that's good. But the situation I'm in is that Dad's third wife, Pat, is in hospital, and she's had a lung collapse four times. So talking to her, especially someone who has brought up being religious and who knows about God, like I said to her, but do you really know God? And she's in hospital because she's coming, she's 92, she's coming to near the end. Just try to get her to think through, do you really know the Lord? And to have some talks with her. But it looks like she's getting better again, which is good. But that situation has given me an opportunity to talk probably on a deeper level with her that we haven't been able to when she's been at home.
Marianne and Paul have said is that, in a sense, what we were asked to do was share about when we've evangelized. And interestingly, Evangelism Shift doesn't start that way. It actually encourages us to build relationship with not yet Christian people. And it's sort of like a process. So I want to share with you something about the process. There has been opportunities to pray with this person, and he's very, very open. But twice in the last week, he said to me, can we organise to have another meal with you and Lorraine? So the encouragement in building the relationship with these three people that Paul has said, and trusting God to open up the opportunities, I think in the past, one of my views of evangelism is as long as I say some words about Jesus, I can relax for a while. But this is exactly the opposite. It's actually build a relationship, be part of those people's lives, and see what God opens up. And it's very encouraging. And it's not that heaviness about, oh, I've got to say some words for Jesus. So I really want to encourage you that what I want to share about evangelism this morning is a really strong, deep, meaningful relationship has developed with two couples, and they show a heap of love to us. And so it becomes more and more natural to talk about our faith. Please don't think Evangelism Shift is, you know, we're going to teach you how to get some words in for Jesus. It's actually teach us how to trust Jesus through the Spirit of God to open up opportunities, and it's very encouraging.
I want to say something. You know where Gina coming from, my wife? The town is about 75,000 people. And it's only a too small church, evangelist. So I never expected. So once a year they do a festival for evangelists. In every country in Europe, they involved, including Russia. So every night, it was something gone. And I was amazed. I was, wow. I was thinking, you know, the church is only a small church. But every night, there were over 10,000 people. Over 10,000 people. They talk about God, they talk about Jesus. And they go every night to go out to somewhere to have a dinner together, even a strangers from Germany or Switzerland or whatever, you become a friend. And they talk about Jesus, about God, about everything. So I was very, 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 very surprised, you know, how God works, you know. It's amazing, you know. And then after the festival lasted 3 months, and every night, every is something on, in every different nation, different language. And what they do with dancing, they dance Russian, Turkish, it's because every night is different. But at the end of the day, they talk about Jesus, you know. And yeah, beautiful, you know. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about these sorts of things openly in church. It's very encouraging. However, from Corinthians, again, Linda, from chapter 3. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to their labours. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And I just wanted to encourage you also, along what Graham said. Some are evangelists, some sow the seed. But not all of us can be seed sowers and evangelists, so to speak. And it's only God's Holy Spirit that can judge people and make them aware of their sinful nature. So some of us call it friendship evangelism. Well, that's what we used to call it. Years gone by, and Graham's touched on that. But I also want to encourage people to build on those friendships and to pray about those people. But not all of us will get the opportunity to see people come to Christ. We may not. But sowing the seed is very important, and creating a friendship with someone to have that opportunity to sow is equally as important. And I would encourage you all along those lines to realise that friendships are really important with your neighbours, with your work colleagues, and more difficultly, with your family, extended family. It's one of those areas where, for born-again Christians, it's a really tough circle to be involved in, our immediate family. But pray, and God will heed your prayers and assist you to be able to have a friendship with even your loved ones in your family. I'd just like to pray. Lord, help us to share the love of God with our family and friends. Help us to be a light on a hill, so to speak, in a way that reaches people's hearts and not just their intellect. For all these things, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be able to discern these things. Amen.
Hey, good to be back for a while. Nice to see everybody. evangelism. I think I'll go along the lines of Graham Taylor there in building up trust and respect. Because at the end of the day, when you build up trust and respect, people let their guards down. I've got this guy, a young guy at work called Jacob. Nice guy, 21 years of age, a bit of a lad. He went walkabout. By walkabout, I mean he disappeared on Monday, never came back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I went around to his place and had a bit of a chat to him, and he was only half with it. A couple of bottles of, booze, but a bit more heavier than booze, Jim Beam. And he was sort of started to open up, and he'd just broken up with his girlfriend. He'd been living with her for about 2 years. She dumped him and moved off with another guy, but apparently he's been seeing or something, or she'd been seeing or whatever. Anyway, he said, "What are you coming around and see me for? My boss hasn't even given me a phone call. What's the story?" And I said, "Mate, I worked with you. We've humped work, you know, we've done tiles, done roller shutters. You know, you're like a son to me." And he goes, "Hey, I'm like your son. Nobody's ever said that to me." Anyway, I didn't have any offence against him, but he had a smoke in front of me, not cigarette, the heavier stuff. And we started chatting, and he goes, "Mate, well, you really come around because you care for me at the end of the day." And I said, "I care for you because I'm a Christian, I care for you." I don't know, we've all been through that for some period of time. We've had our dark periods. But the evangelism, I just sowed the seed and I said, "I'll pray for you because at the end of the day, hopefully you'll turn up on Monday." But that's it. That's what we do. We just build up respect. We go to people and they understand, they respect our position. And it was a good opportunity for me to actually talk to Jacob and find out where he's at and what's happening, because nobody else even gave him two bits. They said, "Oh, he'll come back when he's ready." But I do think of the fact that the door opened for me to talk to young Jacob. Amen.
I'm also going to move this into a time of open worship, but please feel free to keep coming, all these discussions and testimonies about evangelism. It's great.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you, everybody, so much for what you've said today. I was going to talk a bit about a family that I'm doing a funeral for this coming Friday, non-Christian family. It is on the table that I'm a Christian, so please be in prayer that the Lord will move in their lives and that he'll give me opportunities to be part of the way he moves. So I won't say more than that about that family for now, because we've had such great sharing today, and that's actually what I wanted to say is, just thank you so much, everyone. It does my heart a lot of good to see everybody taking on board our responsibility as disciples of Jesus to make him known in the world around us. And as you're finding out, it's not just a responsibility. It's actually quite a privilege and quite a blessing to us as well as to the people that we witness to. And really loved what you were sharing, Peter, about, I mean, there's so many excuses for a Christian to say, "Well, that's it. I'm out of here. This guy's doing this. He's doing that. That's immoral. I don't want anything to do with this." But you stuck with him and showed him the love of Christ. I just think that's fantastic. So thank you, everyone. It's really meant a lot to me this morning.
Does anyone else have anything to share?
I'd like to say to the people that pick me up on a Wednesday and take me out, and they pick everybody up and take them out somewhere to be happy, because they are lonely, and I think they're the great people of the Lord to go and pick up people and take them out to enjoy themselves when they're on their own. And I think, you know, I just had to say something about that, because they go out of their way to help people who are lonely and pick them up from their house and take them out. And it makes them really happy and they laugh. So I think that's great. I praise the Lord for these people that do that.
I'm not going to stand up. I hope people don't mind. Look, I have to say the challenge I find with the program of Evangelism Shift is a time aspect. However, I'll just share that I had a conversation. There's a couple that live near me, just around the corner. Their names are Jane and Manfred. And during COVID, the last lockdown, I had a phone call from Manfred. I have their phone numbers and occasionally talk to them. Well, I talk to them whenever I can. Manfred is a lovely fellow. He must be in I think he's just over 80, and originally from Germany. And he has a very new age type outlook on life, and I think he does, he's into very alternative things, alternative to Christian faith anyway, very alternative readings and all these sorts of things, as is Jane. Jane is a naturopath. Anyway, Manfred's always is very friendly, lovely, very lovely fellow. But he gave me a call, and we weren't able to see each other in person because it was COVID anyway. But I think I spoke to both him and Manfred and Jane for about an hour. And it's interesting, because you really get to know where they are at, and just more about them. So basically, I think they believe in all sorts of things that are nothing to do with the Christian faith. But they explained to me what they believed in, and I listened, because otherwise I don't know where they're at. And so they believed in reincarnation and all of these sort of things. And I said to them that I didn't. I had a Christian faith, and that I don't believe in reincarnation. But it was fine. They were okay with that. And anyway, that's so they're my neighbours, not far away. And so I think it is about relationships. And I'd just like to pray for both of them, Jane and Manfred, that you would work in their lives. And it's not right now, but at the moment I'm planning to hopefully have a bit more time available. And so hopefully some of these relationships can be built upon a bit more for the future. So I pray for Jane and Manfred that you would work in their lives, and I pray for the times, the relationship that I may have with them and others around me. And we pray for everyone that we have in our lives and that we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
That has not been affected by all the members not going along in the same direction. And it disturbs us. I guess as a dad, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, you want all your children going along together, going to church, doing the good things, and some of them don't. What's the answer, guys? What do? You love them. You love them. And when you finish that bit of love, you love them again. Father, sometimes it's not easy to love somebody that just seems to want to go the other direction. But we pray for families this morning, Father, that we might be given more and more love for not only our children, but our grandies, our great-grandies, whatever. The ones that our sons and daughters have chosen to marry, we pray for them. Would you bless them this morning with a wonderful sense of your light and goodness? And may they see something in us, Father, that says, you can come closer. Don't be frightened. I'm sorry, Father, I've put so many things up as being good and they're not good because they're not of you. So would you help us each one? Us older people, Father, we're a bit broken. But we pray for our families, our children, that they might see something of the Lord Jesus Christ shining forth at this stage in our lives. Bless them. Bless them indeed.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. It's been quite an extended time, so thank you very much. And